At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And Send It In, presented by BetMGM. You're on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys coming up on this Wednesday. Dylan Singh going to join us here in moments to preview the big game out in Eugene this weekend between Indiana and Oregon. We're also going to continue talking college football, give out some more of the best bets that I like for Week 7. We'll talk a little more NFL Week 6, as it's a slate that I really like this upcoming week in the NFL. Chase Kitty going to join us later on in the show. We'll talk some more Major League Baseball playoffs, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, hit us up at the BetMGM Network. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Wednesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line, check in with Dylan Singh, who joins us, covers the Hoosiers for Journal Gazette. And give Dylan a follow on X at Dylan Singh. Dylan, great having you back on the show, man. Should be a good one in Eugene on Saturday. And here we are again with Indiana, right? Everybody wondered if last year was just a fluke, a one-year wonder. It looks like they're really, really good again this season. I know it's still early, but covering the team last year, covering the team this year, do you feel like the Hoosiers are even better this season than they were last year?
Yeah, I honestly do. I think the talent is even better than it was last year, just generally across the board. I loved Curtis Rourke last season. I thought he was fantastic for IU. I thought he did put the ball exactly where it needed to be almost every time. But I think Fernando Mendoza has been even better this year. Just the level of talent that he has in his arm, his ability to move in the pocket and kind of manipulate some things, it's been really impressive to watch. And then you have a lot of guys who have been in a lot of football games for that team, and they've done a really good job of coming together very quickly. I think the overall level of talent is probably higher than last year, and it's just a question of whether they can go out there and win some of these games against the best teams in the country, which they're going to have some opportunities to do here starting this weekend.
No question. And Dylan, I mean, that's really all they've lost to so far in the Cignetti era, right? It was Ohio State and Notre Dame last year, the two teams that end up winning the title. They're playing a team on Saturday that definitely is capable of winning the title. So we know Indiana is so good in the games that they're supposed to win. But when they go up against these top teams, what is it you think they failed to do in those games against the Irish and Buckeyes last year that they're going to need to do against Oregon on Saturday?
Well, it's funny because I think the narrative coming out of those games was that, well, they didn't protect the quarterback well enough. They weren't good enough along the offensive line, along the defensive line either, frankly, because they didn't get a ton of pressure. And Kurt Cignetti about that a little bit this way. He said we didn't play well along the lines, but we didn't really win any matchups in those games. Like, he's like looking back at it, it was a whole team issue. It wasn't just the line. So I think that's his perspective. I think that there were some positions that played relatively well in those games, I think. But I do think the biggest issue was in the trenches. They weren't able to protect Curtis Rourke last year, and part of the problem was that he couldn't really move very well. And we saw some of those issues crop up a little bit last week against Iowa. Indiana upgraded its offensive line this offseason. They went out and got Pat Coogan, the center from Notre Dame. They've got Khalil Benson back from Colorado. They brought in a couple other guys. And so they tried to really fix what was an issue for them last year, especially at the end of the season. Obviously getting Drew Evans, their all-everything guard, back after he missed the end of last season with an Achilles injury, that helped. But they struggled a little bit against Iowa. Iowa got pretty significant pressure on Fernando Mendoza in that game, caused a couple of inaccurate throws. I thought Mendoza actually did a really good job of handling the pressure as well as you possibly could have expected, but there was a lot of pressure in that game, especially coming from the right side of that offensive line. So that's something that is going to need to be cleaned up, because Oregon certainly has a defensive line. A couple of guys on that line are really, really, really good. And so if you are not playing your A game, Oregon is going to eat you alive. So that is something that I'm certainly watching for going into this game.
Dylan, you know, throughout his coaching career, Cignetti, whether he was going back to his days at Elon, JMU, with Indiana last year, he's been really, really good off of bye week, right? And there are some coaches, college football, NFL, you give them that extra week, some of them are really good, others, not so much. So, I don't know, is that something that Cignetti's talked about? Is there a reason why, just maybe knowing him and now seeing how his team has been the last year and a half, why it is he is so good when you give him that extra week to prepare for a team?
Yeah, he hasn't talked about it a ton. I think he kind of wants to downplay. He doesn't want that to become a big thing, because then it becomes, well, the other teams are looking for new stuff and new things like that. But I think it does speak to him and his coaching staff, which I think he has a lot of very good coaches around him on that staff, that they've been together for a long time now, starting with offensive coordinator Mike Shanahan, defensive coordinator Brian Haynes. Those guys have been together for a long time, and so they're really good at self-scouting. They're really good at looking at it and saying, hey, where have we struggled? Where can we get better? What do we need to do to improve? I think that that's probably the genesis of why they're good off of bye weeks, and because they have been. They've been very good off of bye weeks. And so I think they're going to have, and obviously Shanahan and Haynes are going to have some very interesting things kind of schemed up for this game. I think you're going to see some trick plays. You're going to see some different pressures and coverages and things trying to confuse Dante Moore, the Oregon quarterback. Whether any of that makes a difference, if IU can't get pressure on Dante Moore, or if they can't protect Mendoza, I don't know. But it's going to give them the best opportunity possible to go out there and be successful. And I think we'll see some wrinkles in this game that we haven't seen from IU this season.
We're talking Indiana, previewing Indiana, Oregon with Dylan Sin, who covers the Hoosiers for the Journal Gazette. Give him a follow on X at Dylan Sin. Dylan, look, it's going to be a tough game for Indiana on Saturday, there's no question, but even if they lose, I mean, looking at the rest of the schedule, really the only game that kind of stands out is at Penn State. Maybe that game's not as difficult as maybe we once thought heading into the season. So even if they lose, do you feel like Indiana's set up pretty well to still end up making the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a possibility. I think that, like you said, that Penn State game is not as intimidating as it was probably 2 months ago. I think that they'll go into that game as underdogs, I think. Mm-hmm. But I do think they have a chance to win it, especially with the way their defense is playing. I think they'll have something for Drew Aller and that Penn State offense. So I think that if they do lose to Oregon this week, their goals are still all in front of them. There's a game against Maryland, I think, that also kind of strikes me as a little bit, hey, That's a team that could get them, you know. Maryland has played very well this season. They were up 20-0 on Washington before letting it get away the other day. So that's something I would have circled as well. But this seems like an Indiana team that probably should not lose more than two games again this year. And if you're Indiana and you've already beaten Illinois and Iowa and you get to 10-2, you're going to be in with a bucket of teams that is going to be in the mix for those final three or four spots in the playoff this year. And considering whether the dominant question for them coming into this season was how big of a step back are they going to take, that to me is pretty impressive, because I haven't seen much of a step back.
Yeah, no question. Mendoza, you know, it's funny, Dylan, he was actually the favorite to win the Heisman a couple weeks ago, and then the Hoosiers go on bye, and his odds dip a little bit. Mateer might be back for Red River for Oklahoma and Texas, but he's certainly still in the thick of it, and if Indiana wins this week, probably goes back to being the favorite. You mentioned how impressed you've been with him at the start. I mean, do you think that Mendoza definitely is capable of winning the Heisman Trophy if Indiana, let's say, you know, goes 11-1, 10-2 this season?
Yeah, I absolutely think it's a possibility. I think they have to beat one of Oregon or Penn State for him to really have a shot. Yeah. But I think, I mean, look, the game against Oregon was his, or the game against Iowa, I should say, was his worst statistical performance of the season, but he was terrific in that game. Like, there was a couple plays that he left out there, maybe one or two, but he made some real, real deal throws in that game, with a couple of them with pressure in his face, like guys right in his grill. There was one to the far hash from 40 yards down the field that he dropped in the bucket between a corner and safety. That's big-time stuff. And he does not have the highest level of talent in the country around him. He has very good talent around him, but it's not as high as some of the other guys, I think, who are probably in the mix for that race. Like, I don't think he has quite the receiver talent as a Ty Simpson, or, you know, quite the overall just level of excellence that there is on that Oregon offense around Dante Moore. But there's good talent around him, and there are guys who can make plays for him. And if they win one of those games on the road at Oregon or Penn State, he definitely deserves to be in the conversation.
Yeah, Beck right now is your favorite at Miami at plus 500. Dante Moore plus 700, who Mendoza plays this weekend. So if you like Indiana, pull the upset. Maybe Mendoza worth a look at the Heisman market. Dylan, before we let you go, how do you think the game plays out? What's your score prediction for Saturday in Eugene?
Yeah, I think it probably plays out relatively similar to the way that things went for IU and against Notre Dame and Ohio State last year. I think maybe they keep it a little bit closer, but I just think ultimately there's too much beef along the lines for Oregon against IU this week, especially on the road, especially in that atmosphere, especially flying across the country. I think they can probably run the ball on IU just a little bit. I think they can stop the run and force IU to be one-dimensional on offense. I would guess something like maybe 27-14 in favor of Oregon. And that's not saying that IU is not a capable team. I think Oregon may be the best team in the country. So I think IU is going to, if they lose this game, again, still have a chance to go on the road to Penn State, prove that you deserve to be in the playoff. If you win that one, you get to 11-1. I think no matter what happens this week, you're in the playoff. So we'll see, but I'm interested in how that matchup along the line goes for sure.
Yeah, Ducks favored by 7.5, total 55.5. Dylan, like a lower scoring game. I tend to agree with him. I think that total might be a little too high. Dylan Sin covers the Hoosiers for the Journal Gazette. Give him a follow on X at Dylan Sin. Dylan, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game on Saturday. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
No problem. Great stuff. Dylan Sin. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In. Look at the rest of the Week 7 college football slate. It is a Wednesday, so we look at the favorite, underdog, over, under, and outright winner that I like the best for this week. Let's start with the favorite that I like the best this week. We'll keep it in the Big Ten. USC, 2.5-point favorites against Michigan. I'm going to take USC minus the 2.5. I think anything under 3, a good bet here with the Trojans. If it starts getting, and I don't think it will, but if it gets to 3.5, 4, then I would start to look at Michigan. 2.5, though, I think a nice price on USC. They're coming off a bye week, which is definitely going to help. But honestly, with Lincoln Riley and USC, if they're at home, they're a good bet. If they're on the road, they're not a good bet. And it's usually just that simple. Another one of these Big Ten games where you get a team traveling through multiple time zones like Michigan is, and they are not coming off a bye week. They had to play Wisconsin and Ann Arbor last week. So certainly a rest advantage, a preparation advantage for USC in this game. They're looking for a bounce back after that loss to Illinois. I think the big question in this game, will USC be able to contain Michigan's run? They have struggled on the ground. Michigan, a very good running team. Bryce Underwood can run, but also Justice Haynes, their running back, certainly can as well. But USC at home, this is one of those games where you have an unranked team favored over a ranked team. I'll take USC minus 2.5 against Michigan. An underdog that I like a lot this week. Talked about him on Monday. Give me Nevada plus 7.5 against San Diego State. Aztecs have been about as good as home, as good as you can be at home, and as bad as you can be on the road. Looking at San Diego State's home and road splits. At home this season, as 12.5-point underdogs, they beat Cal 34-0 at home. And then last week, they beat Colorado State 45-24 at home. Meanwhile, on the road this season, San Diego State lost to Washington State, who's like a 33-point underdog this week, to Ole Miss. They lost to them 36-13 on the road. And then they barely beat Northern Illinois 6-3 on the road in a game that had no touchdowns. So there's just something about San Diego State. When they're at home, they usually play really well, and they look like a good team. When you get them away from San Diego, they look awful. Now you got to go up to Reno, take on Nevada as a 7.5-point favorite. I'll take the Wolfpack plus the points. How about an over that I really like this week? Let's go to the Big 12. Kansas and Texas Tech, over 59.5 points. Texas Tech right now certainly looks like the team to beat in the Big 12, but Lance Leipold usually has an underdog, very good bet. And this is going to be the best offense that Texas Tech has faced all season when they go up against the Jayhawk offense. Listen to Texas Tech this season and the points that they have given up in each of their first five games. 7, 14, 14, 10, and 11. They haven't given up more than 14 points this season. They're two touchdown favorites in this game against Kansas, and yet the total is 59.5, right? So clearly they're telling you that Kansas's offense is an upgrade from what they have seen. They're telling you that Kansas should be able to move the ball a little bit. I think this is a high-scoring affair. When you have a defense that has been good, as Texas Tech has been, they're at home, and the total is about 60. I think that's telling.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We'll take over 59.5. Under that, I like the best. We also talked about this game the last couple days. Georgia-Auburn, under 46.5. Last 11 meetings between these two teams, the under has hit 9 times. Auburn has been an under team so far in SEC play. Their offense has not looked good against Oklahoma and A&M. Now they have to go up against a Georgia team who you want to attack through the air. They're pretty decent against the run, but through the air is where you can attack them. Even though Auburn has really good receivers, I just don't know if Jackson Arnold is going to make enough plays to really threaten this Georgia defense. And then on the flip side, Georgia have to play in Jordan-Hare at night. Going to be a difficult matchup. I could see this score being similar to the Bama game, you know, like 24-20, 24-21, 46.5. That hits the under for us, so we'll take the under. And then in college football, the team that I like to win outright this week, let's go back to the Mountain West. Take Air Force outright this week, plus 185 against UNLV. One of the fishier lines on the board this week in week 7. UNLV, undefeated team so far this season. 5-0, they've looked very good. Air Force, meanwhile, they are 1-4, and they have lost 4 straight games. So you have a UNLV team that's 5-0 against a 1-4 team, and they're 6.5-point favorites. That game will not touch 7, which I think pretty telling from the market and some of the sharps out there who will not let this game get to 7. But Air Force, they have been able to score a lot of points this season. Their defense is horrendous, but their offense has been able to put up points. And when you're an underdog like this, and your defense is as bad as Air Force is, but your offense is good, you can get a lot of high variance games. So Air Force, I think, is due eventually for a win. Also keep in mind, UNLV at Boise State next week. I think the look ahead line is very critical in this matchup. I like Air Force to pull off the upset. So give me the Falcons plus 185 against UNLV. All right, let's talk a little NFL week 6 here on Send It In. And my favorite bet possibly of the NFL season so far, certainly my favorite bet of week 6 in the NFL, it's going to be a 2-unit play for me. I love the Seattle Seahawks on the money line against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. Right now, the Jags are 1-point favorite, minus 120 on the money line. I like Seattle plus 100 on the money line. Look, we say it every week on the show, do we not? Seattle, you want to bet them on the road. You want to fade them at home. They're 9-1 in their last 10 road games. They're 3-9 against the spread in their last 12 home games. Since Mike McDonald is taking over, this team is not good at home. They are great on the road. And what a great spot to back them in this game against the Jags. You have Seattle coming off a tough home loss to Tampa, and Jacksonville coming off one of the biggest regular season wins in the Trevor Lawrence era. And they're on a short week going up against a great defense in Seattle who's going to be tough to run against. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to make mistakes against the Seahawks defense. So I really like Seattle in this game. Jags are 4-1. They're due for another loss at some point. I think this is where we get the loss. Love Seattle. I think they should be the favorite in this game. So Seahawks favorite bet of the week in week 6. Also, the Rams and the Ravens next game up. Rams team total over 27.5. Yes, it's square, but I don't care. We're taking Rams team total over 27.5. How are the Rams not getting to 30 points against this Ravens defense? However bad you think the Ravens defense is, they're actually worse than what you might think they are, especially with all the injuries. They can't get after the quarterback. They can't stop the run. They can't tackle anybody. They can't cover anybody, and they don't force turnovers. Other than that, though, you know, everything's fine with the Ravens defense. They are awful. Now they're getting the Rams off of extended rest, off of a loss against another team in San Francisco that they were just big favorites against. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare. Adams and Puka against that secondary, Kyron Williams and Stafford. I mean, the Rams, I think, are going to be able to name their score. If the Houston Texans could drop 44 points on this Ravens defense, it's going to be ugly to watch what the Rams are going to do. Rams team total over 27.5. Love it against Baltimore. I'll also take the Titans plus 4.5 against the Raiders. So the Titans-Cardinals game last week opened up 9.5. Early on in the week, that dropped to 7.5. And that's not public money early in the week that's betting on Tennessee against Arizona, just like it's not public money betting on Tennessee this week against Vegas. And just like in the Arizona game, this week we have seen the line move 2 points from 6.5 to 4.5. We also saw it 2 weeks ago in the Bills and Saints game where that was 16.5 and it dropped to 14.5. So clearly there's a professional group out there. There is some respected money that is moving these lines in these NFL games with these horrendous teams. It's hit the last 2 weeks, and the Raiders right now look like a complete mess. Tennessee gets some confidence off their first win of the season, and it's gone down from 6.5 to 4.5. So I look at Tennessee plus the points against the Raiders. All right, Packers, 2 touchdown favorites at home at Lambeau against the Bengals. We did get word it will be Joe Flacco starting on Sunday for Cincinnati. I like the Packers in the first half, -7.5. Flacco, I mean, he doesn't really have a full week of prep. He's meeting new teammates, new offensive scheme. He can't move. He's going behind that horrendous offensive line. And the Packers, off of a bye week, have not played well in their last 2 games against the Browns and the Cowboys. They're at home. I think the Packers are going to come out like gangbusters. So I like them in the first half, -7.5. 14's a big number. It's a lot of points. Certainly could have a back door. So I'll just take Green Bay first half, -7.5. Bucks and 49ers, Tampa is -3. The total in the game is 47.5. I'd probably bet Tampa if I had to pick the game. Don't think it's going to be an official play for me, but I do like the Bucks -3. Feels like to me this game should be 3.5, and it probably would be if San Francisco did not pull off the upset against the Rams. But with the way that they have looked, despite all the injuries, and Tampa is one of these teams that likely to regress with all the turnover luck that they have gotten up to this point. Baker's playing at such a high level, though. Abuka's been unbelievable for Tampa Bay. I like them -3. That's the way that I would look in the game. Lions and Chiefs, Sunday Night Football. I mean, you got to take the Chiefs in this game. -2.5, right? Everybody thinks the Lions look like the best team in football right now. All over Twitter, all I see is, how are the Lions underdogs in this game? How could the Chiefs be favorites in this game against the Lions? Not only are the Chiefs favored in this game, but the look-ahead line was -1.5. And after losing to Jacksonville on a short week, the line actually moved in the direction of the Chiefs. Think about what that tells you. I like Kansas City in this spot at home. Give me KC -2.5. And then the two Monday night games, Bills, 4.5-point favorites at Atlanta. That line feels about right. I probably won't bet it. I think the Falcons in a teaser could be a nice look this week. And then Bears at the Commanders on Monday night. Bears off of a bye week, going on the road, which you tend to like more off bye weeks because the team will be more focused. They have to get a little bit more prepared early on in the week. taking on Washington, coming off a nice win. Don't know if I'll bet that game either, but I would also lean Bears plus 4.5 against the Commanders. All right, let's check in now with our guy Chase Kitty here. Odd Send It In, BetMGM senior content writer. Give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty. And of course, James Madison University graduate, our guy. All right, Chase, we got two ranked matchups here in week 7. Bama, Mizzou, Oregon, Indiana. Any plays for you in either of those games?
Definitely a play in Alabama, Missouri. Kind of a strong lean in the Oregon, Indiana game. It is a good week to be a James Madison University alum because I get to talk about how I've watched Kurt Cignetti coach 14 million games over the last 10 years. I covered him when he was at Elon before he came to Harrisonburg, when he had Davis Cheek as his quarterback, a name lost to history. So I have seen the man coach a lot of games. I have a lot of respect for him. He has a great eye for talent and program building and in-game adjustments and all these things. I think he sort of marinated in the early Alabama Saban culture and took a lot from that, maybe more than anybody. He doesn't win these games. And I say that with a ton of respect for the man. He doesn't go on the road and beat the top 1% programs. He doesn't have the talent at the line of scrimmage. I wish Indiana the best. I am rooting for him, but I do not think they will win this game. That's the lean. I want to ask you, Captain Tide, do you feel like Alabama has the run game to win this game? Because I feel like when you watch Ty Simpson, Georgia's secondary is kind of a lot leakier than I think a lot of people realize this year.
Yeah,
the Vanderbilt game was kind of a find-your-level situation for the Commodores. When you look back at the games they won, it turns out Virginia Tech was awful. South Carolina, Lenora Sellers gets hurt in that game. So the Alabama thing was sort of, you know, prime regression in terms of profiling. I feel like Alabama, this is the high watermark right now in terms of where they're capped at. Simpson's 8-1 to win the Heisman. I think they've got a real problem walking into this game where they're going to struggle to run the ball. They are like bottom 20 in FBS and success rate running the ball. They're going to have to pass through Ty Simpson. Missouri's got a way better secondary than most of the teams they've played so far. So I actually like Missouri outright and plus the 3. I've bet them, and I think they're going to take the L this weekend. What say you?
It's an interesting game, Chase. You know, I keep going back and forth. It feels like Mizzou is a trendy pick this week. You bring up a good point about the running game. I think the other side of the ball, too. I'm still not convinced about the run defense, and you got to go up against Ahmad Hardy. So there's a lot to like with Mizzou. Certainly the spot off of Georgia and Vandy, Tennessee next week. Could certainly see why people like Mizzou this week against Bama. What about Red River? We don't know if John Mateer is going to play. There are rumors out there that he potentially could. Texas right now, a minus 120 money line favorite. Chase, I think this is an interesting game because I feel like a lot of people might like OU if Mateer is back, but that would actually make me like Texas more in the game if he was back. What say you on this matchup?
I'm totally laying out of the side. I think the Mateer stuff's gamesmanship. I think they're going to hold him back for at least one more week. You don't have to push it against Texas, right? I know that it's your rivalry game and it's the Texas State Fair and all this, but based on how Texas has played the first 6 weeks of the season, if I'm Oklahoma's coaching staff, I'm saying, okay, this isn't the biggest obstacle for us moving through the season. So let's risk it. Make sure Mateer is healthy and like save him so that we have the bullets in the gun when we have to play the top-end SEC teams, which Texas doesn't look like right now. So I would roll the dice. The way I'm going at this is assuming Mateer's not playing, watching Arch Manning the first 6 weeks, I played under 42.5. It's a rivalry game that's I think is going to be a backup quarterback against a guy that looks like a backup quarterback right now. So, I mean, that's a nice turn of phrase, but in all seriousness, Arch Manning against Oklahoma's defense. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. The rivalry stuff, you know, sort of underlines that. So I'm rooting on the defenses here.
Fair enough. Chase, it's one of those weeks, too. You look at the card, right? A lot of ranked teams that have some tricky games potentially against some unranked teams. Any ranked teams that you think could also be on upset alert this week?
Several, actually. I like your USC pick. I'm on that as well. I hit a lot of Big 12 games, so I laid 5.5 with Utah because I like the unranked trend that you cited earlier. I think Arizona State's in trouble there. I bet Arizona plus 2.5. That number is now plus 1.5, so a little bit of CLV there. I bet Colorado plus 3.5 against Iowa State. That number is now 2.5. Iowa State and its secondary has the same problem that Detroit Lions do right now, and I think that explains why both of the spreads for both of those teams are running against them right now. And then South Florida on Friday night. I think it's very interesting that North Texas is basically a pick'em with them. If you look at what the money line market has the game priced as, part of the reason, besides the fact that North Texas is just good and they're the home team, is giant rest advantage for the Mean Green. They were on bye last week. South Florida wasn't, and this is a Friday game. So one team has like 5.5 days rest. The other team has 2 weeks, and the team with the superior rest is playing at home. Just a, kind of a tricky spot for South Florida, and I think that explains that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the games of the year for the Group of Five, so excited for that. Chase, about 30 seconds left. Any thoughts on the Heisman race from you?
I mean, if you like Mendoza, obviously you need to bet him now because it's the same spot that Dante Moore was in a couple weeks ago, where if you go on the road and you beat the Big Ten rival, then you're going to see a giant price move. I just, you know, like I already laid out, I don't see Indiana winning this game. And so I think we're actually going to see a frozen market for several weeks now. I think even if Mateer comes back, we're going to see Moore and Beck at the top. And because of those team schedules, it's going to be really hard for anybody to catch them because they're just going to keep winning.
Very good. Our guy Chase Kitty, give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, BetMGM senior content writer, James Madison University graduate. Chase, always good seeing you. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
See you, Peach.
All right, pal. Good stuff. We got a question in the chats from our guy Reed Phillips about the Heisman straw poll that came out. Do we need to do anything regarding our Ty Simpson play? How much defense do we need to play? Reed, right now, too early, I think, to play defense on Ty. A lot of football left. He's got a lot of big games upcoming. I think we revisit that probably early November is when we maybe start the hedge or do a little bit like that. But a promo to tell you about from our friends at BetMGM. MLB postseason odds boost token. Swing big on your next bet with MLB postseason odds boost token. Use your token and net a bigger payout on a winning bet. Make it legendary at BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, you guys, let's get to some of our favorite plays from today. It's all baseball. We got four games today. Going to be an unreal day. Aaron Judge is going to be my play in going streaking. Stanton to record an RBI is going to be my prop lock at plus 135. I like the Phillies to beat the Dodgers today. I think a lot of people, those NL series that are 2-0, most people like the Cubs to win today, Phillies to lose. I think it's going to be the opposite. I think the Brewers win, they sweep the Cubs, Phillies live to see another day, and then I also think the Tigers and the Yankees both force a game five. So give me Detroit as my best bet. So Tigers, Yankees, Phillies, Brewers, those are my four picks for today. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.